Welcome to A Deeper Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will bring in a series of studies out of 1 Samuel. So get close to your radio and listen now as we take a deeper look in the book.
Hello, somebody. Let's move on a little bit further. But notice the preachers died, and then the Bible says, look, that wasn't the last thing that happened. The Bible says in verse number 13, and when he came to Eli, he sat up on a seat by the wayside, watching for his heart tremble for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, what meaneth of the noise of the turmoil? And the man came in haste and told Eli. And Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes was dim that he could not see. So he was blind, fat, and 98. That didn't come out right. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. And the Bible says, and the man said unto Eli, am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army. And he said, what is there done, my son? And the messenger answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistine, and there has been also a great slaughter among the people, and thy two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. And it came to pass when he made mention of the ark of God that he fell from off the seat backwards by the side of the gate, and his neck broke, and he died. Ain't that something? His oldest boy died, his next boy died, now he done died. And he was an old man and heavy, so they had a tough time picking him up. And he had judged Israel 40 years. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child near to deliver. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself in travail, for the pain came upon her. And about that time of her death, the women that stood by her said unto her, fear not, for thou hast bore a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod. That's a strange name. Saying the glory is departed from Israel. That's what Ichabod means. The glory is departed. Because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. And she died. Now, isn't that something? That's a lot of death there. But didn't God prophesy that? God told them, Eli, because you're not chastising these boys, you're going to die. All right. And so we see the glory of the Lord is departed. That's chapter 4. Chapter 5 and 6, and I'm going to go through these kind of fast. God's name is defended. God's name is defended. The Philistines, and the word Philistines means invaders. The invaders. The invaders now that untook the Ark of the Covenant, and they put it in one of their temples. They put it first in the temple of Dagon. The Bible says, verse 2, and when the Philistine took the Ark of the Covenant, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And when day of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon the face of the earth before the Ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him up in his place again. I thought I heard something. Are we okay? All right, verse 4. And it says, and when they arose early on tomorrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both the palm of his hands was cut upon the thresh floor, only the stump of Dagon was left. Now, isn't this something? That idol, number one, his head was fallen, had fell off. Now, his hands and stuff, and all it got, just the stump that he's on. Therefore, the priests of Dagon, nor any that come into Dagon's house, tread on the threshing floor of Dagon in Ashdod to this day. So it scared him to death. But the hands of the Lord was heavy upon Ashdod and destroyed them and smote them with Imrams, even Ashdod and the coast thereof. Now, isn't this something? Oh, man. God started working on them help-wise. Amen. This is something like cancer. Right there on the backside. Yeah. God knows exactly where to touch us that we can feel the hurt. And so everywhere, to make the long story short, everywhere they took this ark, every town, the people took sick. They took it to Ashdod, the people took sick. So they carried it to Ekron in verse 10. But notice now, I want you to see it because y'all still ain't seen this. And I'm trying to be gentle. I'm trying to find the right words to say where these swords and stuff got them. Verse 9, I think, can help me. It says, and it was so that after they had carried it about, the hand of the Lord was against them, destruction, and he smote the men's now, think about the men's, of the city, both small and great, and they had emeralds in their secret parts. Now y'all getting it. Now y'all getting it. Amen. Yeah, these are some tumors right in the secret part. Amen. God knows how to get our attention. Oh, yes, sir. So the men of the city say, hey, we need to get rid of this. We need to get rid of this Ark of the Covenant. So they took the Ark of the Covenant on over to another city, and when they got to that other city, guess what happened to them? Same thing happened. So that brings us to chapter 6. In chapter 6, the Philistine, notice the Bible said, and an ark of the Lord, verse 1, was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistine called for the priests and the diviner, and they said, what shall we do to the ark of the Lord? Tell us wherein we shall send it to his place. You know, it's an amazing thing how people never send for the preacher until they get in trouble. Huh? Isn't that some? Where Reverend Number at round here? I don't care. And notice now, this is in a heathen culture. This is the Philistine. But the Philistines, out in the world, they got worldly priests, false religions. And so the Bible tells us here in chapter 6, they decided to go ahead and send this Ark of Covenant back to Israel. And what they done, they put it on a new cart, and they had two cows. And they said, now, the way that we're going to know that this was no accident or coincidence that we are having all of these tumors is if these cows go straight back to Israel without anybody leading them, and they got two calves, and they don't stop to turn around and go back and see about the calves and nurse the calves, let the calves nurse. If they just make a beeline, we know that God caused all this. This is Israel, God done put this on us. Well, the Bible says that these cows walk straight back to Israel. Even though they let calf, well, man, amen. We used to have cows. Amen. Amen. And so they went. The calves was following the cows, and the cows went directly back to Israel. Now, so we see that God defended. And notice, God don't need nobody to defend him. God can defend himself. Everybody that tried to mess with that ark, boom. But notice what happened when they made it back to Israel. A strange thing happened when they made it back to Israel. The Bible says in verse 18. And the golden mice, according to the number of the city of the Philistine, belonging to the five lords, both of the fenced city and the country village, even unto the great stone of Abel, wherefore they set down the ark of the Lord, which stones remain unto this day in the field of Joshua the Bethshemite. And he smote the men of Bethshea because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. Even he smote of the people 50,000, 70,000, and the people lamented because the Lord had smitten many of the people with a great slaughter. So there again we see that God defends himself even among his people. God will not tolerate irreverence, whether it's from his people or from worldly people. All right, so that's chapter 6. Now, when you come to chapter 7, and so we see God's name is defended, and then in chapter 7, we see God's people are delivered. God's people are delivered. So first we see God's glory is departed, then we see God's name is defended, now we see that God's people are delivered. Look here, the Bible says, and the men of Kijaron-Rim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sacrificed sanctified Eleazar his sons to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass while the ark abode there that the time was long, for it was, notice, 20 years, underline that, 20 years. 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented about the Lord. Listen, you can have one problem for 20 years. See, God is a God of eternity. He's from eternity to eternity. And God is waiting on you. As long as you let this problem just stay right there, God says, I got time. God ain't getting great like you and me. See, we getting great. And notice, God won't move it. You gonna have to work with God to get that thing out your life. Some people are in a rut. Even though they say they're in a rut for 20 years. Even though they go to church every Sunday, they're in a rut for 20 years. Even though they may be in a ministry at the church, you still can be in a rut for 20 years. You can be in a rut all your life. And when you get to heaven, God will say all you needed to do was do this certain thing, and that thing could have moved. But we didn't trust God in that area. But notice what happened. The Bible says, wait a minute. Before I go to that, whenever God is not in his place, then things not going to be right in your life. Things going to be out of place. When God is not in his place, then your life is out of order. And your life is like on hold. Oh, my goodness. Are y'all getting this tonight? This preaching material here, this is heavy. Amen. Look at what the Bible says. And Samuel spoke unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your heart, then put away the strange god. Oh, wait a minute. Idols? Not God's people. Don't tell me they got an idol. Listen. Whenever God ain't in his place, start looking for that idol. Hello, somebody. As a matter of fact, you don't have to go look for it. Just go get the idol. Just go get it and move it out that house. Hello, somebody. Look what the Bible says. He said, take away these strange gods, the Asherah, from among you. Prepare your heart unto the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistine. And so the children of Israel, notice, did put away Balaam and Asherah. That's Baal's girlfriend. And serve the Lord only. Baal is the masculine god, and the Asherah was the more of the feminine god. And one means prosperity, and the other one means plenty. I mean, pleasure. So you had plenty and pleasure. Yeah. Plenty and notice the two idols we are worshiping today. Plenty and pleasure. Now, it's worth coming to Bible study just for that information right there. The reason a lot of people are in a rut today, they've been following after plenty and pleasure and not following after the true and the living God. They're trying to get a little more this because we done heard the more the merrier, y'all. And it's taking us down, 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 down. Because the more that you have means the more responsibility that you got and the more time that it's going to take to manage what you got. Folks are always talking about it. But then Abraham have this, and then Solomon have that, and then this one have that. Yeah, but look how many servants they had. Abraham had 318 servants that right there at his house. How many you got in your house? Your children won't even obey to do what you want them to do. And you talking about trying to get something else around the house? Hello, somebody. See, the reason mama and daddy could handle 30 acres of land and a house and all the stuff on the farm, because they had them 10 children. See, we trying to, and see, they had this little bitty house with these 10 kids. In a three-bedroom house, 10 kids. Hello, somebody. Today we got 5-bedrooms house and no kids. Hello, somebody. And struggling to pay the note. Oh, my goodness. Let me leave that alone because that's preaching material. But notice, it took a man of God. You know, Samuel really is God's emergency man. Have you noticed that about Samuel? Whenever there was a major problem, looked like God raised up somebody. See, when the word wasn't getting out, because the preachers weren't doing their job, down at the church house, the Bible says, when you read your Bible, it says that visions and dreams and prophecy was rare in those days. Why is it the preachers, man, they running after plenty. I'm trying to get me. They ain't worried about trying to study no Bible. Hello, somebody. Don't be fooled, ministers. Don't be fooled. You can go and get the whole world and still lose your soul, the Bible says. And that's what the devil is doing. He's giving people the world in order that he can have their soul. See, what we call success, God don't necessarily call it success. I was listening to one of my sermons today. You know, I kind of like that every now and then. But I was listening about this man in Luke chapter 12 The Bible says this man had this big old barn, had all of these crops, and he had a problem because he says, I got so many crops, but I ain't got nowhere to put the crops. He said, I know what I do. I tear down these barns, build bigger barns, and I'll go ahead and be able to put all my crops there and store it up, and then I can just get my easy chair out and eat, drink, and be merry. And the Bible says, God said, you fool, because tonight your soul is required of you. You finna die and didn't know it. You made plans for your crops, but you didn't make plans for your soul. And that's the problem today. We're making plans for our money. We're making plans for our saving. We're putting this lit money in this saving account, putting this money here in the cave. What is it? Cave 104? What is it? What is it? Four cave one. What is it? What is it? It's a tongue twister. See, that's a tongue twister. Y'all know what I'm talking about. See, we talk about these different saving vehicles, but my question is your soul saved? Our money is more safe than our soul. Oh, my goodness. Hello, somebody. It takes a strong preacher in this day and age. It really do. It takes a strong, because if you ain't careful, you'll let church folks even persuade you to run after plenty and pleasure. I tell you, I don't want to listen to no preacher that stay up late at night. I don't want to be listening to no preacher if he can't go to bed on time. I don't want to listen to no preacher that's out, you know, in the middle of the night, staying out to 1 and 2 in the morning, having a good time partying. Huh? Get down tonight. Do a little wine. Do a little dance. Get down tonight. See, that's a song. I went back to the 70s on y'all. Y'all didn't even know it. Amen. See, I was back in the days of earth. What is it? Earth, wind, and fire? Amen. What now? Casey and the Sunshine Band. Amen. Now you tell me, do you want to be listening to a preacher that's out doing the boogie fever at 2 o'clock in the morning? Boogie fever, baby, boogie down, get on down. Boogie fever. The reason I know that, I want a gong show with that. Amen. My wife will tell you, I won the gong show singing Boogie Fever. Me and my cousin was dressed up like the Blues Brothers. Amen. Had our dark shades on. Came out stumbling over everything, couldn't see nothing. They cut the lights out on us.
Bread of life sent down.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.